Amen. So in the book of Matthew, 13th chapter, we want to begin reading with verse 47. All right, it reads like this. Again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind. Now, this is the seventh parable in this chapter, which corresponds to the seventh church age. All right, which is called the mystery age, is the seventh church age. Verse 48 says, "At the net was cast in, gathered in, which when it was full, they drew the shore and sat down, and gathered the good into the vessel, but cast the bad away." That definitely is taking place in our day. There is a separation taking place, and it's by the Holy Spirit. Amen. He's gathering the good. Amen. He's gathering the good into the vessel, but casting the bad away. Amen. And notice when they drew the shore, they sat down. That's the reason the great evangelistical age is over as far as going out preaching to tens of thousands and so forth. Amen. It's a feeding the bride. It's feeding the sheep. Amen. It's the gathering the good into the vessel taking place in the last day. So verse 49 says, "So shall it be at the end of the world. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth." Jesus said unto them, "Have you understood all these things?" They saith unto him, "Yea, Lord." Then said he unto them, now I want you to notice very carefully, verse 52, we want to draw our thoughts around this verse. Then Jesus said unto them, "Every scribe which is instructed unto the kingdom of heaven," and notice it's kingdom of heaven, not kingdom of God, "is like unto a man," notice that, "like unto a man that is an householder, which bringeth forth out of his treasures things new and things old." Amen. So tonight I want to speak on things new and things old. Amen. Incidentally, it's good to see each one of you at a goodly number out tonight. I wonder if we have anybody here tonight that's here for your first time. Do we have anybody? Yes, one sister here. We're certainly glad to have you, sister. Amen. We trust that you'll be blessed and come back and be with us again. Visit with us. Amen. We want to treat each one so good that they'll just want to come back and worship God. Praise the Lord. But most of all, we want you to be touched by the Holy Spirit. That's the main thing, isn't it? Praise God. We want to do our part, but then the thing that really has the drawing power is it the Word of God. It draws the predestinated seed to the Word. Amen. Is that right? Praise the Lord. All right, tonight we'll speak on now things new and things old. And someone told me the other night, I mentioned this, that that's what they do at a wedding. They have something old and something new. Well, I tell you, we're in the midst of a wedding. Glory to God. I got two books here because I want to demonstrate something with them in just a moment as we go along tonight, because I want to bring something out of our treasure house. Amen. That we haven't had before. Bring it out of our treasure house and show you what it is tonight. Amen. So the seventh church age we read about here, the seventh parable, we could have read them all, but to save time, since you are acquainted with the seven parables of Matthew 13, there's seven of them, each one corresponding to a church age. And we read about the seventh one. And there was a messenger to each one of the church ages, as we'll see as we go along tonight. But the seventh one bringeth out of his household, he's like a householder, bringeth out of his treasures things new and things old. Now, that's very important. Just watch how the Word of God breaks open right before our wondering eyes. And it's wonderful. Hallelujah. Isn't it wonderful? Yes. Glory to God. You would think that something as great as a revelation of the Word of God would be revealed to the Vatican or some great cathedral or some Oral Roberts or Jimmy Swaggers or Billy Graham or something, but it don't happen that way. How many knows it? Amen. Just like in Bible days. Amen. It's hid from the wise and the prudent, but it's revealed to babes, such as will learn. Amen. So we want to learn tonight, don't we? Praise the Lord. All right, now, the messenger to the seventh church age was none other than Reverend William Branham. Amen. He was that prophet of Malachi 4 that came to restore us back to the faith of the fathers. Now, this is very important. I want you to watch. He came to take us back to what the apostles taught. Amen. He took us backwards. Amen. In the Word of God. Because we had come a long, long, long ways through seven church ages. And coming through the seven church ages, we have missed many of the doctrine that they taught and preached and believed in the early church age. How many believe it? Such as one God, one faith, one Lord, such as a fivefold ministry, such as a church being baptized into one body by one Spirit, such as being filled with the Holy Ghost without the false teaching or the false doctrine of that you have to speak in tongues in order to have it. Huh? Come on. How many knows that? Amen. Well, we're getting back. The prophet came to restore us back. All right. I want to refer back just quickly to Malachi 4. If you'll turn with us, please, and read this, because Brother Branham, in the message and in the office which he held, he came to do a twofold job. Amen. And this is very important. He came to do a twofold job. He came to bring the old, and that was as the prophet Elijah. But he came to bring some new things out of the treasure that haven't been known before, and he did that as the seventh angel. Praise the Lord. How many will say amen? He did that as the seventh angel. Glory to God. And while I'm saying this, I want to say there's two parts to the New Testament. There's the salvational part, which is what was written by Paul, basically Paul, but Peter, James, and John, and some of the other ones, and it was finished, and many souls were sealed away and went into the kingdom of God. And then about 30 years later, after Paul was taken off the scene, here comes John writing another part of the New Testament that didn't deal with the basics of salvation. Amen. Now, the seventh angel is to clear that up for us. Praise God. Amen. And such a good job he did do. All right, reading now in Malachi 4, and I want verses 5 and 6. The word says here, "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord." Now, just before the end time, Elijah the prophet is to come. Amen. And according to the book of Matthew, it says there that he would come and restore all things. Now, notice what he was to do is to restore all things. And in order to have something restored unto you, you must have once had it. Amen. But we're not talking here just necessary of an individual, of you once having it, but the church, the bride, once had the thing that Elijah the prophet restored unto them. Amen. How many will say amen to that? Glory to God. So Elijah, he said he would send Elijah the prophet. And then he said, "And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children." That John came and fulfilled that part of it. All right. Then it says, "And the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse." Now, Brother Brown came as the end-time messenger to restore the hearts of the children back to the Father. Amen. Now, I want you to notice here's where we've got to stand. Amen. I believe the bride of Jesus Christ in this end time must have a firm foundation, don't you? I believe she must be standing in the Word of God and know where she's standing. I believe she must get to the place where she's unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord.
Praise God. I believe according to Ephesians chapter 4, she will get to a place where she is no longer tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. Amen. Because there's a stern warning in the Word of God that at the end time, there would be false teachers. Come on. Amen. False preachers and teachers that would come speaking perverse things that would lead you away from the Word. Amen. But we want to get to the place where we're not having to stay on guard all the time, keep getting deceived. Amen. If we are on the Word of God and know we're on the Word of God and know where we're standing, then one of our least worries, well, we've got enough without this one. One of our least worries will be not to be deceived. Because if we're on the Word of God and we know where we're standing, amen, then we know where we stand. We don't have to worry about being deceived. Can you say amen? All right, the Word of God says that He would send Elijah the prophet and restore us back to the Word again. Praise God, restore all things. Now, we have the promise of restoration of all things, and we have the promise that we would receive something that's new. Amen. That the book of Revelation that was written that shows which way the church came all the way through the church ages, that's the thing that's new that the early church didn't have. Hallelujah. Praise God. It feels good, don't it? Amen. It feels good to know that we can have even more of the Word of God than St. Paul had. Hallelujah. Is that right? More of the Word of God than any of the saints had in that day, because we not only got what they had. Amen. We not only have the old, which was what they have, but we have the new that's made known to us by the seventh angel or the seventh church age messenger. Praise God. Let us quickly go to Revelation chapter 10. I want to read a verse here, and we'll just see where to from here. Praise God. I tell you, I feel the Spirit, and I'm just having to, I need to get me a rope here and tie myself to the pulpit again. Amen, because this is good, and I'm trying to hold back here a little. All right, I want to get to Revelation chapter 10, and I want to show you something the Word of God said the seventh angel would do when he got here. Amen. Now, the man is in time is like a householder that's going to bring forth out of his treasure things old and things new. Amen. Now, we have the two books. We're going to demonstrate in just a moment. Now, here in the book of Revelation, chapter 10, is something that the early church did not have, something the church ages did not have. Amen. And it wasn't to be made known until the end time when the seventh angel came. Praise God. But he was to finish the mystery. Let us begin with verse 1 of Revelation chapter 10. It reads like this, "And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow upon his head. And his face were as was the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire." Now, how many know who that is? It's Christ coming back to church in a spiritual, revelational form to be in the church in this end time like he was in the early church. Amen. Now, the Word of God teaches us in the book of Zechariah, the 14th chapter, verses 6 and 7, that there would be a day that would be a dismal day, a day that you wouldn't call day nor night. Amen. Is that right? Amen. But it was light in the first age, wasn't it? When Paul was struck down there on the way to Damascus, amen, there was a light as bright as the noonday sun. Hallelujah. Signifying the brightness of the gospel, the brightness of Christ in that hour. Amen. Everything, every doctrine, every church, every teacher, and everything, it paled in the early church. Amen. By the side of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. That was a day, and the sun was shining bright. Then the church fell away and went through a day that wasn't day nor night. It's the age that's called the kingdom of heaven age. But at the end time, it's promised, amen, that the sun would rise again, that the day would dawn, and that the day star would rise in our heart, and God would bring us back to the original again. Praise God. In order to be ready for a rapture, we must get back to the original. We must get what the early church taught. Amen. You know, one of the things they taught, they had apostolic leadership in the early church. Amen. How many knows it? Amen. The devil don't like for us to talk about it. Amen. But they had it, didn't they? Amen. Paul said, these things that I teach and preach, that told Timothy there in 2 Timothy chapter 2, beginning verse 1 and 2 down through there, said, you go teach other faithful men that they'll also teach the same thing, and they'll commit them to other faithful men. They'll teach the same thing. Amen. That we may all speak the same thing. Amen. Somebody said, well, I believe the Holy Ghost will reveal to us and we'll all speak the same thing. He will, but he'll do it according to the Word of God when we're restored back to the original again. Hallelujah. And the original is undisputed leadership that's set in the church by the Holy Ghost, apostolic leadership. Amen. That the men of God will hear, and when they hear, fire will strike in their hearts. Amen. And they'll know this is of God. Hallelujah. You believe it? Praise God. Now, that's the old. Praise God. We're going to be restored back to that. Plus, amen, the new. All right, going on in verse 2, it says, the mighty angel come down. His face was as the sun. This is after the church age is over, at the opening of the seal. And verse 2, it says, and he had in his hand a little book open, and he set his right foot upon the sea, and his left foot upon the earth. Now, the significance is, of the little book here, it was sealed in the fifth chapter. It was sealed with seven seals. And John said, he began to weep when he saw this sealed book, because he knew that we needed what was in that book. Amen. And the Bible says, as John looked over heaven, he couldn't find nobody that was worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof. Amen, but here come the Lamb. How many knows the Lamb? He opened the book. Glory to God. Somebody said, Brother Brown opened the seals. No, he didn't either. Huh? Come on, Brother Brown didn't open not even one of the seals. Amen, come on. It was the Lamb that opened this book. It was the Lamb. He was the only one worthy. There was no mortal man worthy to open the seal. There was no worthy man worthy to look upon the book. Amen, but here come the Lamb. He died at Calvary. Glory to God. He opened the book. He loosed the seal. Hallelujah. He sent them down his way. Amen. Basically, the first six of them, basically, most of it under the prophet there, and he opened back the seventh one enough to let us know it was seven thunders uttering close together. Amen. But the Lamb still has a ministry in the earth. Amen. To keep on clearing up these things, doesn't he? When he came, he had a little book open. And he cried with a loud voice as when a lion roareth. And we know that there's been a lion that has roared in this day and in this hour that we're living in. Now, some of you may not be acquainted with the fact that we have had a prophet messenger on the scene. Amen. And he had such anointing before the Lord that he even spoke the word and he spoke squirrels into existence. Huh? How many believe it? You might not have heard about it. Amen. His wife had a big tumor about the size of a grapefruit. And he got down to pray, and the Lord spoke to him and said, whatever you say, that's the way it'll be. Amen. She went to the doctor to be examined again just before they were scheduling an operation. He said, just before the doctor's hand touched that tumor, it'll be gone. Hallelujah. And immediately it was gone. Hallelujah. Brother, the lion began to roar. Hallelujah. He was a man. You've seen it here in the service this year. How, in a minor way, you saw us, how that the Lord gave us words for certain ones and called you up and say, thus and thus and thus and so. And never one time has it been wrong. Amen. Amen. You that has happened to you can testify that it's never been wrong. Amen. I remember one night here, Brother McGarrity came in. He was sitting back there, and the Lord just gave me a word for him. I saw Brother McGarrity about half across the river. And there were stones. I watched it. I thought it was rather strange. I just fell into a vision sitting here during service. Brother McGarrity was crossing a stream. And I watched rocks would raise up out of the stream. And Brother McGarrity would take a step and take a step and take a step. And he got about half across the river. And then he was waiting for another one that didn't come up immediately. And Brother McGarrity was like this right there. And I saw he was getting frustrated. Amen. I went back to the back of the church after service. Brother McGarrity says, I want to show you how perfect that was tonight. Well, I told him what it was. God just gave me the inspiration, because the Bible says the Word of God Revelation chapter 4, Hebrews chapter 4, verses 12 and 13 says, the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Amen. Dividing even to the soul and spirit, and is the discerner of the thought and the intents of the heart. Amen. Is that right? Amen. So I told Brother McGarrett, the Lord said that to Brother McGarrett. I've just been revealing things to him and all, but said he's wanting some other things he's getting a glimpse of, but he won't understand it all right now. Said, just tell him, be patient and wait upon me. Those other stones will come up. Amen. Amen. Ask him if it's so or not. Ask him, did it happen? Amen. Just like the Lord says. Glory to God. Brother and sister, the move's on for the bride. There's a living Savior right here in our midst tonight. Glory to God, that's abundantly able to meet every need. Praise God. Amen. Those other stones have been coming up, haven't they, Brother McGarrity? Amen. Just like the Lord said. Amen. This word of God is real. There's a real living Savior right here among us tonight. Hallelujah. And we want to begin to trust Him. We want to begin, when we get sick, look to God for healing. He won't let you down. Hallelujah. He'll never fail you. Hallelujah. The Word said, lay hand on the sick and they'll get well. I've saw it many, many times. Tremendous, mighty miracle. Hallelujah. As the sick were healed. Praise God. And the Lord raised up those that are discouraging down and out. Hallelujah. That's the mighty God we're serving. Amen. The mighty one come back and he roared like a lion. And he had a man here he could roar through. Amen. Round and around the world for seven times went the voice of the Lord as God raised up a mighty prophet. And as he went to certain towns, there wouldn't be even a motel room in 30 miles of the town. 30 and 40,000 would come out and the dead would be raised. Hallelujah. How many know that? There are five times. That's one time I think I've never saw in this ministry the Lord give me as yet, but I ain't gone yet. Hallelujah. Amen. He's still able to raise the dead. He did it through Peter. He did it through Paul. Hallelujah. And the Bible says, raise the dead, heal the sick, cast out devil. Oh, praise God. Amen. I saw devils come out crying with a loud voice. And people instantly set free. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That's the mighty God. Hallelujah. He's here tonight. Let's worship Him. Glory to God. Glory to God. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. All right, it says here, he came and he roared like a lion. In the book of Amos, where's that in Amos about the roaring of a lion? Amos 3 and 7. Get it and read it for the folks. Amen. I want to show you a lion roar. Amen. When a lion roar, it shakes something up. When a lion roar, it causes a fear. Hallelujah. There's been a message. Come out of her, Brother Faye. Come out of her, my people. Be not partakers of sin that you receive not of her plague. Brothers and sisters, there's a people sitting right here tonight. Amen. Just in as good a shape as anybody was sitting in St. Paul's meeting. Because the same God is here to do the same thing. Hallelujah. You believe it? Amen. If you're sick, He sent His word to heal them. Amen. The meeting here a while back, I was ministering under the mighty anointing of the Holy Spirit. Someone came up, I had to pray, said, Brother Howard, I was going to get you to pray for me as soon as you give a chance. But said, you said while the word being preached, they were healed. And said, I said, Lord, I'm going to accept it right now and believe it. And said, praise God, I'm healed. Hallelujah. Amen. That's what the mighty God can do. He can do it for you tonight. Praise God. Read it real loud, Brother Gary. Amen. No, it had to do with the prophet. Read the one above that. To his servants, the prophet. And then goes on, the lion had roared. Listen, all right? Who will not fear? Denomination, they fear and tremble. Amen. Their foundation are shaken. Those that will not go with the word, their foundation are shaken. Amen. When that lion began to roar, One of the things he roared out real loud and clear, that a woman can't preach the gospel. Huh? One of the things he roared out loud and clear that caused even the UPC to tremble and fear. He said, speaking in tongues ain't the evidence that you've got the Holy Ghost. Amen. It's whether you can believe the word of God and walk with him in this hour. That proves whether you got the Holy Ghost or not. Glory to God. Is that right? Amen. Praise God. So the lion roared through the message of Brother William Brown. And he's still roaring. Amen. All right. And then he goes on here. It says, and when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. Amen. I was reading in the seal book today where the prophet of God says, I sat there, said each day the Holy Spirit sending down one of those messengers came and revealed that seal to me. Hallelujah. Each day. Glory to God. That happened in 1963. Glory to God. But it's still happening. Hallelujah. Amen. The angels are still, amen, with the ministers of God. Do you believe it? Amen. Because we're still receiving these new things. Amen. That's for us. Both old and new. Praise God. Hallelujah. Someone's waiting for the roaring of the lion. And a good friend of mine, Brother Raymond Jackson in Jeffersonville, Indiana, he came out with a teaching that the uttering of the thunder would be seven men that would come at the end time. Well, he wasn't the first. A guy named Beeler, I believe, began to preach that in about 65 there while the prophet's still living. Said that seven thunder would be seven men that would God would anoint and come out and they would go forth and do this and do that and the other. Amen. But brothers and sisters, I'm glad we're on the word, ain't you? Amen. I'm glad the fivefold ministry is what perfects the saints. Hallelujah. Amen. Not seven, we've had seven men, but they're all done come and they're all done gone. Amen. The only time you'll see seven men anymore is at the resurrection. Amen. If you're in the first resurrection, you'll be right there with them seven men, the seven messengers. Amen. And what they say then might not help you because at that time you'll already be redeemed. Amen. Is that right? Praise God. Sure, I believe we'll see Brother Brown. I believe we'll see Irenaeus and all the seven messengers, the seven men that God used. But God isn't going to raise up seven men and anoint them to go forth and perfect us. Or go forth, as some would say, put the icing on the cake. I tell you, the Holy Ghost can do that just fine, can't he? Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Well, I guess God let Brother Jackson teach that just to let us know he's a man, because he brought so many things of revelational value that one time I got looking to him that Brother Jackson says it's right. But you know, God don't want us to look to anybody that much. He wants to check everything with the Word. Amen. If it's in the Word, then we go with it. If it's not in the Word, we don't do it. Praise God. So out of his treasures, he brings things old and things new. All right, I want to bring forth one book here. Amen. And show you this. Out of his treasures, he brings forth things new. And I want to bring forth another one here. He brings forth things that are old. Amen. Now, this one man does this at the end time. Bring out of his treasures things old and things new. Now, we'll get to the foundation that Paul laid in just a moment, but let's continue reading here. Here's some thunders. They knew. Amen. They're brand new. And verse 4 of Revelation chapter 10 says, and when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the thunder had uttered, and write them not. And he sealed them up with seven seals. Amen. Sealed it up with seven seals. Glory to God. Amen. And throughout the seven church ages, those messengers, they came and preached that word of God. But much of it still remained a mystery to the end time church. Amen. In order to be perfected and know of a surety where you stand, you've got to be able to look back and see which way the church comes. You got to know why it fell away, and you got to know what's been restored back to you. Amen. If there's some doubt about it, then you got to wonder. There's a question mark in your mind. There won't be anybody going in the rapture with a question mark in their mind about the thunder. Amen. Because they'll be troubled and they'll be shook up. And as long as the devil can put question marks in your mind, he can beat you all around the bush with that. He can run you all over the place. Amen. But God gave you some ground that you can stand on. Hallelujah. God gave you some word. Hallelujah. It's for you today. It's available to you. Amen. And the word of God says, come and see. Amen. Is that right? When the thunder's open, the seals sounded, or the seals open, the thunder sounded. Amen. The four beasts said, come and see. And let's read on here. All right. Notice, when the seven thunders had uttered the voice, I was about to write. We got that. He said, write them now. And verse 5 said, and the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted his hand to heaven and swore by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and things which are therein, that there should be time no longer. Now I want you to notice this. There should be time no longer. Amen. I want you to think about it. You mean, Brother Howard, is time going to end? Think about that just a moment. We know the Word of God teaches there's a millennial reign coming, don't we? But here he's dealing specifically with the kingdom of heaven age. Amen. The kingdom of heaven age, there's seven church ages. Amen. And notice the real move of God in the church was before the church age started. How many knows when the church age started? You know, Brother Mudd? Amen. About 53 A.D., the first church age started. If we have time tonight, we'll get into a little of it. All right, 53 A.D., but what was the day of Pentecost? 33. All right, between 33 and 53, how much time did that give us? 20 years. All right, now the 20 years that Paul went about, the real move of God took place in these 20-year periods. Amen. Because when it went into the church age, the first time he wrote to the church age, he wrote to him and said, thou art fallen from thy first love. Amen. And I preached the other night here. I said, God, when he restores us, he's not going to restore us back to the first church age. Huh? He's not going to restore us back to the first church age, because if we do, he will restore us back to a church that have fallen from the first love. He's going to restore us back to where it was before a church age ever began. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. We are not in a church age now. The bride of Jesus Christ is not in a church age. Amen. I know the church age still goes on for denominationalism, but the bride has been called out. Amen. Now notice, the mighty angel raised his hand to heaven and says, time is no more. I believe the bride's going to have to understand that. Amen. And I believe that the God of heaven has an answer tonight, don't you? Amen. Of what it is, time is no more. All right, time started for the church when he permitted wheat and tares to grow together. If we took the time tonight and went back and read the first of the parables, when he went forth to sow seed, what kind did he sow? Good seed, and only good seed. Amen. And that was the only thing in the field there for a while. There was nothing but good seed. There was no tares in the field. All right. And then while men slept, which signifies the early church age there and so forth, as the apostles gone off the scene and so on like that, while men slept, you know what happened? Tell me, Brother Bobby. The enemy slipped in and he sowed bad seed. Amen. Now, that's the law of God. If you plant seed out here, it's going to come up. Amen. Amen. Rice weeds will come up right beside your bean seed. Huh? Don't believe it? Go look in my garden. Amen. They'll come up, all right? And the seed came up, and when the servants, the real revelated child of God, knew that there was something in the church that wasn't measuring up to the original like it was to begin with. Amen. They begin to see something in church that wasn't exactly right. People losing their zeal. People losing their love. And they saw some just going to meeting just to have some place to go. Amen. He saw some that lost that love, that fire. Amen. He saw the tares begin to come up. All right, now notice now, there's a time period, and it's going to come to an end before the bride leaves. And the bride's going to know that time period has come to an end. Now, there's a time through seven church ages that God permits wheat and tares to grow together. Is that right? Amen. When he saw the tares and wheat growing together, what did he say? Let them both grow together until. Huh? Let them both grow together until. Until when? The harvest time. Amen. We all know this, that when you plant seeds, if you got weeds growing around your plants too close, if you pull them up, especially in real dry season, it will disturb the roots. Amen. Is that right? But I want you to notice this. When the stalk dies, when the weed dies, when it's produced its fruit, it doesn't matter if you pull it up. Amen. When your bean plants has made all the beans, and the sap that was in the stalk and in the roots come up and get into the bean, it don't matter what you do with that old bean stalk. It's no more good. Amen. It's just where the life has been. Amen. And let me tell you something tonight, church. These seven church ages, it's just where the life has been. Amen. The life's not there anymore. There's been a message. Come out of her, my people. Be not partakers of her sin, that you receive not of her plague. Amen. So in the last day, glory to God, there's coming a message to come out of her, my people. Amen. The mighty Christ of the Bible come back to this last church just like he was in the early church. Amen. And he raised his hand to heaven and swear that time is no more. Time is no more. What does it mean, time is no more? Time, God will not extend mercy to the church anymore in a way where wheat and tares can grow together. He commands us to come out of her, my people. Hallelujah, is that right? Time is no more for the blessings of God to be upon denominationalism. Now, I'm not saying there ain't some good people in there that hadn't been in life, but mind you, they'll go right into the tribulation period. Amen. They'll not go in the rapture, because those in the rapture will be washed by the water of the Word. Hallelujah, they're coming to the wedding now. Glory to God, that old and new. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Brothers and sisters, we're right in the midst of it right now, becoming bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh, spirit of his spirit, word of his word, life of his life. Hallelujah, we're becoming the seed of God. Oh, hallelujah, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Amen. Time is no more. There's mercy. Somebody says he gets off the mercy seat. There's no more mercy for God to bless denomination. Amen. It's over. The only way that you can be under the spout, amen, is to come out of her and get in him. Huh? Come out of her and get in him. Her is that denominational system. Him is the Word of God. In the beginning was the Word with God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Amen. All right, notice now. The Christ raised his hand and said, time is no more. And verse 7 says, but in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he has declared unto his servants the prophets. Amen. I want you to notice something here. The seventh angel has to clear up the mystery. Amen. Now, if the mystery is not cleared up, then we're still looking for the seventh angel. Amen. And the seven thunders have always been known as seven mysterious thunders. Huh? Amen. Amen. If they're not cleared up, then the seventh angel ain't come. Come on. The seventh angel ain't come yet. Amen. But we know the seventh angel's already come, and he sound his voice. Amen. He restored us back to the faith of the fathers, which he brought out of the treasure. He brought us back to the original gospel that was taught by St. Paul. Huh? How many knows? What's the twofold working of this one man? His first calling was to restore us back to the Word of God. Amen. But he was not only the prophet of Malachi 4, but he was that seventh angel that was to finish the mystery of God. Can you say amen? All right, what was he to do? Bring out his treasures, things old. As the prophet of Malachi 4, he restored us back to the faith of the fathers. Is that right? He restored us back to the teaching of St. Paul. He restored us back to water baptism in Jesus' name. He restored us back to being a church outside of denominationalism led by the Holy Ghost. Praise God. But not only did he do that, he took the word of God and began to preach the seven church ages. Something new that the early church didn't have. Amen. He brought out of his treasure something new to give to the end time church. Get her ready for the rapture. Hallelujah. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost here tonight. My people, can you understand what God's doing tonight? Here stood a man. He wasn't only the prophet of Malachi 4, but he was that seventh angel that's spoken of in Revelation chapter 10 and verse 7. Amen. He restored us back to the faith of the fathers. And then when he got that done, amen, he began to preach things that wasn't even wrote in the book. Huh? How many knows it? Amen. Brother Gary, come up here and tell us what the church age, Baptist church age, what the wise and the messenger. Come up here and do it so it'll get on the tape and for the folks that hears the tape. Now this ain't something here, it's not wrote in the Word of God. Amen. It's something new that's brought forth. Amen. Brought forth something old and something new. There are certain things new. Amen. That God's going to give to the church that they ain't never had before. Amen. No other age have ever had it because at the end time, the seventh church age messenger, he reached into his treasure's house and give the church something old. That's the original word. That's the written word of God. That's the word the early church has. But then he reached back into his treasures and then he gives the church something brand new that the church never had. Praise God. Tell us, Brother Gary, about the church ages, the messengers now. Name, tell us the church age and the messengers.
Okay, the first one would be the Ephesian church age, and the messenger would be Paul.
All right, that age lasted from about 170 or 53 to 170. All right, go ahead, read the next.
Okay, the second church age would be Smyrna. Okay, and the messenger would be Irenaeus.
That age lasted from about 170 to 312. Now watch, we're filling in this gap. The angel, seventh angel now, what's he to do? He's to reach into the treasure house. Uh-huh. He's to get something brand new that has never been seen before. Amen. He not only told us when the church age started, how long it was, but even told us the messenger of the age. And God came down and he drawed it out in heaven. Back here in the office now, there's a clipping of a newspaper where the moon in one night's time there went into seven stages. It completely blacked out the seventh church age. It drawed them out. And as Brother Brown preached this, angel of the Lord drew it out on the wall before 300 or 400 people.
Amen.
Amen. Brothers and sisters, do you know where we're at?
Yes.
Amen. He's reaching into his treasure house. He's saying, look at this. This is brand new.
Amen.
Paul didn't preach this. Peter didn't preach this. He reached into his treasure house and he brings forth things old and things new.
Amen.
Amen. He did that not as the prophet. He was still a prophet, but the office, the word said he would do that as the seventh angel.
Yeah.
He would clear up all the mystery, or he would clear up this mystery that related to the seven church age and specifically the book of Revelation. Amen. All right, get the third age.
Third church age would be the Pergamian church age. The messenger would be Martin.
That age lasted from 312 to 606, just before the church went into the dark ages. Amen. Brothers and sisters, that is as much word of God as Acts 2:38 is.
Amen.
Amen. Because the seventh angel came and he reached and he showed the route the church taken.
Amen.
All right, the next age.
Fourth church age would be the Thyatiran church age, and the messenger would be Columbus.
Amen. That age lasted from about 606 to 1520.
Yes.
Amen. I want you to watch. Here stands the seventh angel. Here stands the seventh angel. He reached into his treasure house. You know what he says? He reached into his treasure house and he says the Thyatiran church age lasted from about 606 to 15 and 20, and he said the church age, the messenger to that age is Columbo.
Uh-huh.
Brought something brand new out of the treasure house and dangled it right before the church of the living God. And the bride, she believes that. Hallelujah. She believes it just as much as Acts 2:38.
Amen.
Because God vindicated the man. He went around and around the world. Amen. The pillar of fire seen by many. And there's a picture took of the pillar of fire over his head.
Amen.
Amen. As the seven angels came to Brother Brown to clear up these mysteries. Amen. The remainder of the mystery of God. As he went up, it made the face of the Lord.
Yes, it did, brother.
All right, let's put this new treasure back and get us the next one.
Fifth church age would be the Sardesian church age. The messenger would be Luther.
Amen. Do you believe that? Amen. And it lasted from about 1520 to 1750.
Yeah.
Amen. He reached in there and he said, look here. Here's the church age. And said, this is the time period of the Reformation. The Bible says after in the second chapter of the book of Revelation there that he gave her a space to repent in, old mother whore.
Yeah.
Huh? Amen. How many knows who the old mother whore is? Who is it? Roman Catholicism. That's right. He gave her a space to repent in, but the Bible says she repented not, then he cast her in the bed. All right, and then she brought forth daughters, and they was harlots too. How many knows that? They was harlot daughters too. Why? Because they commit adultery against the Word of God. Amen. We're to be faithful to Christ, our husband. Amen. Not fornicate around with some denominational spirit. Amen. Or some denominational church that tried to get you away from the Word. Amen. Is that right? Amen. What was it? What we got to Sardinian church age. I want to read a scripture on that one. Amen. I want to show you on this Sardinian church age, this Revelation chapter 3, verse 1. He began to open up this church age, and I won't hold you too long, I promise. But watch what it says, unto the angel of the church of Sardis, write, these things saith he that has the seven spirits of God. All right? Did you know seven spirits of God was totally unknown to St. Paul? Amen. Don't miss that. Seven spirits of God, Paul never heard of some. Amen. If Paul was sitting here in our midst tonight, if God raised him from dead and set him up here, he would say, what in the world are you talking about? What in the world are you talking about, Brother Howard? The Bible says there's one spirit. Huh? Paul wouldn't know it, but he brought and laid the foundation. That was the old. But this end time messenger is to bring forth things old and things new. Notice here, he that has the seven spirits, how many knows what it is? It's the seven spiritual angels. They came to Brother Brown. All right, now notice what else he said. He had in his right hand seven spirits. All right, somebody get ready to answer this one. Brother Boyd, he said not only had seven angels, but he had seven stars. What was the star? Amen. It was the messenger, the earthly messenger. Amen. The candlestick, the churches, and the stars are the messengers. The seven spirits are the seven spiritual angels that was with the seven church age messengers. Amen. Things old. Watch, he brings something else new. Where's my book? He brings something new out. Amen. He reveals the seven church ages. Now, in the days of Luther, how many knows what the message was? Justification. The just shall live by faith. He came out in Germany in 1500 and something out of there and began to preach the just shall live by faith, bringing and restoring that light back. Amen. But all this would still remain a mystery, and it would be in the treasure house and couldn't be got out. Because the only one man had the key. Joseph down in Egypt. There's a lot of people down there. But Joseph had the key to the corn crib. Yeah. Hallelujah. How many know this? Joseph, he's the one had the key to the corn crib. He's the one could open the corn crib and tell the people, come on and eat. Praise God. I just saw this. I didn't think of it till just then. I'm on television. Sometime back, my wife had a dream. And This will be a personal note here, but I'm doing it for the glory of God. I'm not trying to put emphasis up on flesh, because all flesh is grass that rise up and fade away. Ain't it? But my wife had a dream. We went to this place. We were going down the road, all brethren all around, people all around, but went into this old corn crib. And there was a lot of farm tools laying in there, but said I looked like I had something on my mind. And I went right directly to a certain place. And I pulled out something, reached way back under some other machinery in there and stuff, and I pulled out a little oval-shaped thing, and so I said, this is a corn grinder. And I flipped it in my coat, under my coat, and I was talking to the brethren, just jolly with the brethren, talking to them. And my wife said, she said to herself, why don't they see what he's got under his coat? Amen, it was a corn grinder. Well, last Thursday night, show you how God was in the meeting last Thursday night. Amen, when I got up behind the pulpit, I said, let's just give him a little praise. Amen, raised our hand to praise God. My wife fell into a vision. Amen, she saw that corn grinder just grinding that corn off. Amen, them yellow kernels of corn just being ground. Amen, what it is to make the word of God digestible. Hallelujah, amen, you grind corn. Woo, I feel the Holy Ghost. Glory to God. Amen, God's in the midst. God's in the midst. Hallelujah, this old corn grinder will grind just as good as it would in the days of St. Paul because it's the same office. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, and Jesus Christ, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Glory to God, hallelujah. Amen, amen. Amen. My wife said she didn't have no thoughts of anything like that, but all of a sudden there in the vision, she saw that same corn grinder. You know what I preached on? That same corn grinder, that corn, big kernels of corn just being ground. Try to make a pound of corn bread out of corn that's not ground. You'll have a hard time, wouldn't you, Sister Doc? Amen. But get it ground good. Amen. It makes bread that's digestible to us. Hallelujah, the Holy Ghost is grinding Holy Ghost word corn. Amen, if you're wise, if you're the bride of Christ, you can eat this corn. Hallelujah, as it's ground by the Holy Ghost corn grinding. It's an office. Hallelujah, that God's ordained to come and interpret his word in the last day. What in the Bible was the office that interpreted the New Testament? First apostle. Secondary prophet. Thirdly, evangelists, and then what, pastors, teachers? Amen. Brother and sister, that's right here tonight. Amen. Did you hear what I said? That's right here tonight. Glory to God, we're back in Bible days again. We're back in days when all things are possible to them that believe. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Brothers and sisters, there's some corn being ground here. Amen. He brings out his treasures. He's done restored us back to the faith of the Father. And then he brings out his treasures. First, things old, and then he brings some things new that's never been preached before. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Of course, y'all know my wife. She's quiet and don't say nothing about it. She said she would have testified in church about it, but says that when you get up to testify, a lot of times she'll begin to cry, you know. Amen. But I tell you, God gets it out anyway, don't he? Amen, a vision of big kernels of corn being ground. Hallelujah, that same corn grinder working tonight. Hallelujah, you need to get a spiritual vision of it. Glory to God, you might not see the lips of a corn grinder, but if you've got the Holy Ghost, you'll know there's some words being made digestible here tonight. Glory to God, as the God of heaven comes down and becomes just as bright as the noonday sun right before us tonight. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God. My, my, my. Lord, just help me to slow down here a little bit. Oh, hallelujah. Hey, man, if heaven feels any better than this, I tell you, we certainly going to have to be changed, Sister McGarrity. We can't ever stand. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hey, man, where'd you get, Brother Gary? On the sixth one. Okay, let's, what was the sixth age? Why is this corn being ground now?
Sixth church age would be the Philadelphian church age. The messenger would be John Wesley.
Amen. How long did it last? From 1750 to 606.
Right. Amen.
Amen. How do we know that?
1906.
1906. Here's the treasure. Here's the household man of the household. He reached into his treasure. He's got the key to the corn crib. Nobody else could have done it. Schofield couldn't have done it. Or Roberts couldn't have done it. Billy Graham couldn't have done it. Amen. They didn't have the key to the corn crib. But that seventh angel. Amen. God gave him the key to the corn crib and told him, open the treasure house now. He said, it's time to open the treasure house and bring forth these old things and the things new. So I'm going to rapture my people and I want them to know that. Hallelujah. You believe that? Oh, how the double quittable shant out of double tie. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. Amen. Brother McGarry, that said we'd conclude this tonight. But I don't know. I tell you, it's getting bigger and bigger. Amen. All right, the last church age, how many knows who the messenger was? The seventh messenger. Who was this one? Brother William Branham. The seventh church age message. And what was the seventh church age message to Brother Dow, according to Revelation 10 and 7? What was he doing now? Finish the mystery that he had declared unto the servants the prophet. All right, then if he finished the mystery and the seven thunders are mysterious, amen, then he ain't done his job until the thunders are known. Amen. Is that right? Amen. How many say amen to that?
Amen.
Amen. The thunders, they have to be known. He said each day. He said, I've been watching all week when he preached the seals. I want to drop something in here. I've been watching all week. Said, there's been something going on around you all week long. So I've been waiting till somebody to catch you. He said, it ain't been that of some man. He said, why has it been? He said, it's been the angels of the Lord. Hallelujah. And each day one of them messengers sat down in heaven, came and revealed that seal to me. All seven of those thunders right there, all seven angels, as the seals were being opened. All right, let's get here on Revelation 10 just a little more. Thank you, Brother Gary. Amen. Turn the mic off, please. Amen. Glory to God, I tell you. How many see some things new? Things new. Things you can't read in the foundation of what Paul taught. He said he would restore back the old. That's all that was taught by the prophet. And then he would bring something new to the church. Amen, brothers and sisters. Ain't but one way we can know these things. And I'll have to say this, God is among us. Amen. I'll say that corn grinder's grinding corn. God's getting the people ready for the rapture. God's getting the people washed by the water of the Word. Amen. And we are the people of God. Hallelujah. We're the people at the end time. We're the people that's going to make a rapture. We're the people that God has come down and revealed this book of Revelation to, because he, why? He used the seventh church age messenger to bring forth the old. But then he brought forth the new. Amen. Out of his treasure. So may God bless you. Let us pray. Heavenly Father,